Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Events with Benefits, a podcast designed to get your stress level down and your profits up if you work in the not-for-profit or fundraising space. I'm your host, Danny Hooper. I'm a professional fundraising auctioneer based in Canada. We're here today in Orange County, California, coming to you from the world headquarters of Winspire.
Thank you, Danny. And my name is Ian Loth. I'm the marketing director here at Winspire. And today we're going to be talking to Debbie Roth Bush from Greater Giving. She's going to be talking to us today about mobile bidding technology, and some of the advantages to that, and what the landscape out there is looking like. Some really great tidbits for those of you out there who are thinking about mobile bidding, or maybe have tried it and you're not sure if it's the right fit for your organization. But tremendous interview here today.
Hi, and this is Renee from Donation Match, and I've used the Greater Giving software, have met Debbie at a conference, and am really impressed by her experience as not just the partnership marketing manager at Greater Giving, but also as a certified benefit auctioneer and having worked on her son's fundraisers.
Before we get started, I thought, Danny, what's your experience been like with mobile bidding so far?
Well, up in Canada, we're certainly starting to see a lot more of it at events, and I would think that probably at about maybe 30% of the events that I'm doing now are using some form of mobile bidding, whether it's using your cell phone, your mobile phone to text your bids on the silent auction item, or whether you're using the tablet system. A lot of these events now have tablets sitting on the table, and people can do their bidding right from the comfort and convenience of their table.
So you're saying people your age can use mobile bidding?
Hey, absolutely. It's that simple. Actually, people of all ages can use mobile bidding. And we talked yesterday in one of our podcasts to one of our favorite auctioneers, Scott Robertson, who's based out of Naples, Florida, where he said his average age at some of his auctions is like 89, and they like to be in bed sleeping by 8 o'clock at night. And those folks are even using mobile bidding. So to find out more about it.
Well, yeah, and that said, I mean, the fact of the matter is people getting older. Millennials are now starting to participate more and more in these fundraising auctions. So it's important to start, you know, don't be behind the curve. You want to be prepared for that when that flood of people starts coming your way.
Well, things are changing, and certainly technology is changing almost hourly. And let's join Debbie right now and find out how it can benefit your event. So here we are with Debbie Rothbush from Greater Giving. And Debbie, we have been trying to get a hold of you for a half an hour. We tried 18 different phone numbers. What is with all the security? Can you tell us?
No, I really can't. And I don't want to name the carrier and bash them.
Well, look, we're glad we finally got you on.
I get crazy calls all day long, so I don't know why they wouldn't let you through. Maybe they knew it was you, Danny.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we're so glad to have you on the podcast with us here this morning. Of course, at Events with Benefits, the purpose of this podcast is to talk to people in different sectors of the fundraising and not-for-profit space. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about your business at Greater Giving, maybe starting with a little bit of your background.
Okay, well, I'm the relationship manager at Greater Giving, and what that means is that I recruit a lot of our business partners, like auctioneers, event planners, fundraising consultants, the type of people that our nonprofits need to help them carry off their events. We are a software company, and we help nonprofits raise more money every day through our integrated products, which is event software, management, mobile bidding, fast payment collection, and online donations. I've been here about 9 years now.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about mobile bidding then, because I know that is definitely relatively new technology at fundraising auction events. I'm a fundraising auctioneer myself, and it's probably only been the past couple of years that we've noticed a strong presence in mobile bidding at the events. And maybe you can just talk a little bit about that space.
Well, it is a way for groups to solve a number of problems at their events. I think it originally started with groups that had space constraints. People couldn't get back. I've experienced this myself at my son's school event, where I couldn't get back and bid on that front row seat for the school play that he was in. I literally could not elbow through the people holding their drinks. I was afraid somebody would spill something, and I lost out. And, of course, the organization lost a little bit of money because I couldn't get back. The other thing is that a lot of organizations will do things like a buffet or, you know, people are in line at the bar. And any time they're not in front of the table with the items on it, they're not bidding.
Okay, so we're talking then about this.
To have people participate from anywhere they are in the room. They can even open it up early or outside the group that will attend the event. So that's kind of where it started. I think it actually started as an extension of online auctions and rolled out into the event arena. And what we're seeing around the country is that the first time it's used, that most groups are experiencing quite an increase in what they have raised on their silent auction.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify, it is the silent auction that we're talking about here then. Is that correct?
That is the main way that it's used. We do have groups that sometimes use it for the fund a need, but we work with auctioneers all over the country, and that, you know, there's a challenge that they're doing it on their phones. If they're doing it that way, we still recommend paddles up and let the auctioneer, you know, tug on those heartstrings, and the energy in the room as the paddles goes up and the visible peer pressure of that. But mostly it's used for the silent auction. It can also be used for selling, you know, they can buy, sometimes groups have a party that they can sign up for, so they can tap that on their phone and sign up for that dinner party for 12 and see who else is going and buy that and other applications for things like that.
All right. So this mobile bidding then, it's done using your phone. Is that correct? Because I've been to some events where the mobile bidding is done on tablets. So with Greater Giving, they're actually using their mobile phones. Is that correct?
Yes, they're using their cell number, and they receive a link when the auction opens up, and they tap that link and confirm that they are the name they see on the screen, and then they can scroll through. They can preview the live auctions if the group has decided that they want to have those and let them look at those on the platform and participate in the silent auction to whatever level that they would like to. You can still have different sections, you know, closing at different times. I have some auctioneers and some groups that prefer that, or you can have the whole thing close at once. You can choose to have a push, you know, if something's being, you know, if there's being hotly contested stuff, then those particular items, you can push that out as well and keep the auction open a little bit longer as long as the bidding is active.
Okay. Debbie, walk us through, if you can, a day of the event from the time that an organization decides they want to entertain looking at mobile bidding. What's the process you go through? What does day of event look like? I imagine you have to collect photographs, do you, of all of your silent auction items, or how are they listed? Maybe you can just walk us through some of the actual process.
Okay. Well, it actually backs up then before day of event, because you've done all of that hopefully beforehand.
Yeah, of course.
But they register with our product. They register through a website that they've built out of our software, and that software pulls into the website everything from table sales to sponsor sales. They can display the sponsors. They can have the catalog for preview on the website. As people buy the tickets, if it's a mobile bidding event, then you are in the registration form requesting the mobile number, and we recommend building a page that talks about mobile bidding and promotes it on the website, particularly if it's your first time. And as the group's getting ready for their event and their auction items come in, they're entering that into the software. They can take pictures of it, you know, and the software makes it really easy if you need to bundle. Maybe for the live auction, you were donated a limo, which is an item in your software, and a dinner, and your tickets to a show, and you just click, click, click each of those. It pulls it into gives it a package number, and you smooth out the description a little bit. But any of the pictures you took all pull into that. So once you get to your night of event or when you're going to open your auction, all of the people who've registered, you send a text out to that includes a unique URL for them with on their phone. They're going to tap that. They're going to confirm that, yes, I'm Danny Hooper, and it has their bidder number. And if you've given table assignments, that can be in there as well. And off they go, where they look through the items. The items are can be listed by categories. So if you've got dining out, maybe you've got different packages for that, and they're looking at that, and you could have a picture of the restaurant. You could have a picture of, you know, some of the entrees or the wine or whatever it is. You can put multiple pictures in there for the packages that they can thumb through, and that creates excitement and gives them a really good idea of what they're looking at. You can put, the description is there if you tap the item. You can have any restrictions in there. You can have, you know, put a description of the value of the item or the, you know, if it's a $100 dinner or a $200 dinner, whatever that is, you can put all of that in there, and it makes it very clear and very easy. And to bid, there are buttons with the increments already in there, and you tap the button that for the next bid. Or you can do what we call max bidding, and anybody who's ever participated in, you know, bids on eBay, where we can you can put in the most that you're willing to pay for that item, and as, you know, maybe you're talking and you don't want to look at your phone all night, it will let you know when you have hit that max, but it will only bid next increment when somebody bids against you. And when you hit that max, you get a text that lets you know that you have hit that, and you make the decision there whether you wish to go beyond that and continue bidding on that item.
Let's step back for just a moment and take a look at the industry as a whole and what your experiences have been, what you're seeing out there as far as trends. And I know a lot of our listeners that are planning fundraising events, and if they're looking to incorporate either a silent or live auction, what do you notice trending out there right now in terms of popular items?
Experiences are still number one. So trips or... I know that the chef dinners in home are still a really popular thing, where a chef will come and prepare a meal in a home for a certain number of people. That is still probably one of the big ones. And wine or alcohol of any kind is still a top seller. You know, when I look at our numbers, I can see that, we sell an awful lot of wine. We are seeing, you know, some other fun ones that I've seen is getting a local newscaster to donate a package where they take a couple of folks up in the helicopter, you know, with the traffic watch, and then give them a behind-the-scenes tour at the station. I've seen a twist on that where, you know, schools get to... bid on and have their child be the weatherman for a day, and they kind of coach the kids through that. So that can be real fun as well. I still see a lot of hunting. I see a lot of golf. I see a lot of trips.
A lot of trips.
That's still probably the number one thing.
Fantastic. Well, that kind of ties in nicely with my friend Ian here from Winspire. Of course, that's what you guys specialize in here at Winspire. Ian is providing the no-risk, very exclusive travel packages. And maybe you just want to chat for a second what you guys are seeing out there in the industry right now.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you brought all that up, Debbie. I mean, just the fact that experiences are such a big part of auctions, and they're always, you know, a hot button item simply because they never really tire, right? They're always unique, they're always
right.
New, and they can be related to the community or, you know, much larger trips that we get into. But, you know, we always want, you know, our clients and our customers to go out and procure their own experiences to supplement any of the trips that you can get out there. But, you know, definitely using consignment to round out that offering. But I'm glad to hear that you're seeing the same thing, Debbie.
Yeah.
Debbie, taking a broader look at the industry right now, we're talking about trends, and of course we've talked this morning and we've talked a little bit today about mobile bidding. As a trend, how do you see mobile bidding moving into the marketplace? Do you have any sense or numbers? What percentage of nonprofit events are incorporating mobile bidding now?
I don't know that I could give you an industry-wide number. I know that it is our hottest, most requested information request that comes in. We almost can't keep up with the request to see that. There's a lot of providers out there. We are not the only one. I think what makes us unique is we're not just your night of event, but we can be your year-round support, which many of the others, it's all about the event. And we know that nonprofits are raising money all year long, and we have the platform that supports that. But there are a variety, and there's a huge difference in price points and the way that we all provide service to the nonprofit sector. You know, some will send 10 people in, and some are more of a do-it-yourself, manage-it-yourself model, which is kind of where we fall. We really try to leave more of the money in the nonprofit's pocket. You know, we are a for-profit business, but, you know, we know that they're all trying to do good with the money that they're raising. And so the more that we can make it simple and make it be something that they can handle themselves, the more money they keep to do those things that they are actually raising the money for. And we have a night of event support available on the phone. But it is very, very different all around the country. There are different partners and different services. I would say that the one thing, if you are looking and your provider is going to offer you payment processing, is to ask if they are PCI compliant, which is the payment card industry, and that's talking about the level of security that they are offering as you handle your donor's money. And not only are they PCI compliant, but what level are they compliant to? Because there are different levels. And tell you greater giving is level one, which is the highest in the industry that it's possible to achieve to protect your donors' financial, you know, background and their data. We have done everything that we can to prevent any sort of a breach, and we have plans in place if such a thing should happen. And because in this world, we all know hackers, you know, about the time you've figured out how to protect yourself against them, they've found another way at it. So you want to poke at what a company is doing to protect the security of the data that you're putting into the software.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, Debbie, because my credit card company phoned yesterday to find out if I was in Dubai in the morning and Poland in the afternoon.
I'm sorry, Danny.
I said it's funny you should talk about the security issue there, because my credit card company phoned yesterday to ask me if I was in Dubai in the morning and in Poland in the afternoon. So
yeah,
you're right.
I've had a similar experience where I know, and it was probably a seminar I was at where somebody was using the Square, and I don't believe it was the person who had it on their phone, but I believe that they had some malware on their phone. And my card was cloned, and it was in use at two different Macy's in the area I was in, but also being used at a gas station in Georgia, and that triggered the card getting cut down or shut off while I was on the road.
Oh, geez.
And so, you know, again, handling your donor data, everything from their name, their address, you know, you're putting all of that stuff in whatever platform you're using. If they're giving, you want it to be a secure platform, and you know that they are doing the best that they can, and then what sort of a plan do they have in place, and what would they do if something happened?
Okay.
Because something will.
Yep. All right. I've got a question for you, Deb. I'm wondering what, you know, because all of the, with this mobile bidding, you say people are using their mobile phones. What happens if they show up at the event on a Friday night after a long work day and their batteries are dead?
Well, one of the things that we like to recommend is that you have charging stations, and this is a great sponsorship opportunity. Almost every nonprofit's got some kind of a phone system, and maybe their carrier also has cell coverage, and perhaps you could sell them a sponsorship and have a branded charging station. The other thing I've seen is a basket with those little individual phone chargers that are branded by the sponsor that people can pick up and plug their phones. The other thing that's nice to have, and this might be not only for those dead batteries, but for your elder audience who perhaps isn't as comfortable or perhaps does not have a smartphone, that having what we call bid assistants or bidder buddies or bidder or the concierge, a group of people walking around with tablets that are able to access the wireless network and being able to bid on behalf of that person. I've seen this happen with a couple of nonprofits where they actually assigned, and I know we're going to do it at my son's school, that we've got a couple of high dollar donors that probably in the neighborhood of about 80 years of age, that we are going to assign a high school student to be their person all night long and take care of them. And we found this to be very, very effective since schools are always raising money for technology to assign a student who's benefiting from it and have them be the one taking care of that couple all night long. And others, if the phone dies, they can just run over and get help. But I've got some pictures on Pinterest of a couple phone trees and different charging stations that groups have done that we've taken pictures of that are just super cool. And it's in the mobile bidding page on our Pinterest, awesome. Which is Greater Giving. That's a great way. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we'll be sure to, if you send that to us, we'll be sure to put it in the show notes as well, because I'm sure people would love to see that. And Debbie, this is Ian here. Got a question for you. You mentioned having cell service and the Wi-Fi networks. What are some questions that nonprofits should be asking, venues, or how do you recommend they get their Wi-Fi set up in there if they're worried about cell reception?
Well, one of the things I recommend if you are doing mobile bidding, is before you sign that venue agreement, and you know who your mobile bidding platform is going to be, is getting the requirements from them. We have a checklist. And then meeting with the venue and getting the IT person, not the salesperson who's going to get paid for, selling the space, getting the IT person to go with you. We also recommend having several people with different carriers walk the building, and I would recommend doing it when there's another event in there. Because I've been to venues that they were fine beforehand, but when we got there, they had two or three other big events going on, and everybody was sucking at the Wi-Fi bandwidth. And so it was slow. Now, most of the time, if you walk the building and everybody can get signal with their cell phones, they're not on the Wi-Fi. You only need the Wi-Fi if you're in the basement. The nonprofit will need Wi-Fi for access, for their tablets that they're going to run with their helpers within the building, and possibly for running their check-in and check-out desk and any data entry that they're doing. But for that, usually the hotel Wi-Fi is just fine. But if you are in that third floor, or you're in a building that's got lots of columns, or I just took a conference, in Vegas, and the buildings are slap up once again, and I could not get out. I could not make a call, and I couldn't even make a good Wi-Fi call. My cell phone would not work within that building. So you want to talk with them. It is possible for them to bump up their bandwidth. It is also, one of the things that we do is recommend hotspots, and there's also little temporary towers that can be placed. And this, again, is a sponsorship opportunity with a phone carrier in the area. And sometimes they'll even send their people to be your bid buddies. And we've seen this happen a couple of times. And they had so much fun, they told the nonprofit as they finished up the evening that they would be back for the next one. So, and not only fun, and a way for a company to engage with their community, but also they can have an offer for the attendees, and that could be a tracking, you know, some way to track the mechanism of people actually taking advantage of a discounted rate if they sign up through the particular sponsor who offered that service that night. There's lots of options, but I really truly recommend walking that building when there is another big event in there, you know, going in the evening, finding out when they've got somebody else, and just walking around and seeing what your reception's like and whether you can get out on your cell phone. Ours, that's all you need. And again, that's right. A good question to ask all your providers. Is it an app? Is it something they have to download? Because that can be a barrier to bid. And it's also one of the reasons that sometimes we recommend opening up the auction a few hours early, because then the majority of the people who walk in have been bidding for a little while, and it reduces the people who are confused or having questions, and then those that arrive, we can help them as they come in the door.
That's great, Debbie. All great. Some really gold nuggets in there. Got one more question for you about you know, bidding software, bidding technology. I know one of the major benefits of bidding technology is that you have everyone, you know, already entered into the system, and you can check out much quicker. And I know that with that comes a lot of data, right, in terms of bidding data. Mm-hmm. What sort of, can you speak a little bit on what sort of metrics or things or data that you can be looking at post-event in order to plan for future events in terms of your auction items?
Okay. Well, and this is whether it's mobile bidding or not. When you've got software that you've put the retail value of the item in and you put the actual sold price in there, then you can go section by section and look at what is your average income from each section. So in the silent, are you achieving 50% of retail value? Are you achieving 65% of retail value? Or are you doing better than that? And anything that falls below that average should not come back to the auction next year. You should be looking at for more items that of similar type that did well in your event. Same with your live auction. Are you hitting 100%? Are you hitting 90%? Was something a real stinker? You know, looking at the actual numbers of the retail value achieved and getting more of the good performers and eliminating the things that did not. You know, I'm sure Danny as an auctioneer can tell you the stinker packages he sees. I am consistently surprised. You know, marital counseling should not show up. It should not be in your office.
Isn't that right?
Nobody's going to buy it.
Well, it's true. You know, yeah, marriage counseling. What guy in the room is going to put his hand up and bid on 3 hours of marriage counseling? You know, and just as an aside here, advice that we give our clients when they're going out, if you're talking to a law firm for a donation, we find that the estate planning packages are sometimes a challenge. Certainly the divorce counseling is almost impossible. We find with the dentists, you know, a tooth whitening or things like that are low return items. That's been our experience with our clients. So we tell our clients to go out, and when you're talking to a law firm or talking to a dental office, ask for a cash donation in lieu of those other packages, and they can then take that cash and collect up all that cash and perhaps do something, maybe buy one of the Windspire travel experiences.
That's what I was going to say. One up, just have them underwrite a travel package. They'll get the recognition for donating the travel package, and that's, you know, that's what's the name of the game is recognition, right?
Because as Debbie, you've said earlier in the podcast here, that one of the hottest selling items is still the travel packages and the travel experiences. So, have them underwrite those types of travel packages, or just give a few $100 that can be used to purchase just wine, which is another great seller.
Always a good price.
Yeah.
Yep.
Debbie, just a question here before we cut you loose. You've shared some real nuggets with us here today. We really appreciate that. And I know that you have a special offer that you're going to present here in just a couple of minutes to our podcast listeners. But a question, when in your experience, what have the returns been? First of all, do you have evidence to support that the mobile bidding produces better results than regular pen and paper bidding on the silent auction? And if so, what are those differences, or what are those numbers look like?
We're seeing anything from 25 to 35% increase when they use mobile bidding. Again, people are bidding if they're in line to get a drink, or they're in line to pick up hors d'oeuvres, or, you know, just wandering around and visiting. This enables them to bid wherever they are. You may walk through the room the first time, but you don't have to go back. You don't have to fight your way through that crowd in order to bid. The other thing that we're hearing back from teams, it was the easiest auction ever. All the work was before the night of event. With the majority of the data entry for the items sold being the silent auction, mobile bidding just dumps all of that results directly into the software and into the customer record, so you can print an invoice that's current at any point in the evening. The only other thing you're going to have to enter is the live auction items and the fund to need. And again, having software makes that super, super easy. I cannot recommend enough having a database where you can track. The other thing that mobile bidding does is just give you more information on those donors. You're getting an email as they're buying their ticket. You're getting an address. You're getting their cell phone number. You may be getting a home number. They're entering their spouse or whoever else they're going to bring. So it's giving you extra data without being creepy. And donor data is all about building relationships. And in order to do that, you've got to have contact information. And mobile bidding really, really does that for folks.
All right.
And, you know, the millennials are coming along. They don't want to bid on paper.
good point. Now, if people want to get a hold of you at Greater Giving, how can they do that? And then finally, you have a special offer. Maybe you can tell us what you have.
We do. We are offering $100 off of a Greater Giving package. We have Express, which is the software and the ability to take credit cards. And then we have our Greater Giving event, which is the ability to build that website and the cloud software and the credit card services, both for online and at your event. And that offer is good through the end of January. And they can contact me by emailing D, as in Debbie, Roth, R-O-T-H, dash Bush, B-U-S-H, at greatergiving.com, or just emailing us at info@greatergiving.com. But if they want me directly, that was my email, so they can get a hold of me that way. The offer is good through the end of January. And we'd be glad to do a demo and answer their questions. And also, you know, want to let them know about our blog that is searchable with lots of different topics, anything from some of the questions about mobile bidding coverage to volunteers to getting good items, all of that kind of stuff. And you don't have to be a customer to access it.
Okay.
So feel free to visit our website and take a look at the training resources we have.
All right. Well, that website is greatergiving.com. Our special guest today on Events with Benefits has been Debbie Rothbush of Greater Giving. Debbie, thanks for sharing your time with us.
You bet. Thank you very much.
This has been another episode of Events with Benefits. Thank you so much for joining us. If you like what you heard on today's episode, please, please rate us wherever you find your podcasts. And be sure to share this with anyone you think it can help. You can find more information about our guest and resources in the show notes at www.eventswithbenefits.com. And please stay tuned for more episodes coming up very, very soon. Thanks all, and we look forward to seeing you next time.